Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the text again, O my Lord, you are the all-pervading supreme personality of Godhead, and your transcendental forearm form holding conchal, disc, club and lotus is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child so that I may try to hide you somewhere. Now, let us first make a little test. It's not good. Gordon, maybe it's not so important to have me so loud. If you put me a little lower, then the devotees will be much easier. It will be easier for them to hear the translation. Also, I usually become louder at the end of the... good. Prabhus, let us just shortly understand the purport to this text and then go on into our subject of today's lecture. I think you all are familiar with Devaki here is praying to the Lord who appeared in his four-armed Vishnu form to please become an ordinary child so that it would be much more easier for her to hide him somewhere. Devaki thought it was impossible to hide this huge four-armed form within the prison, but she thought it is well possible if a small child, like baby child, Krishna could be hidden in this form. That would be possible for her. This is more or less what is in this text. Now, today I want to jump a little bit ahead in our subject. As you know, we are discussing the six principles of surrender to Krishna. We had already to accept everything favorable for the devotional service, and second, to reject everything unfavorable for the devotional service of Krishna. Now, when I came and gave my first lecture here in Beograd, I was lecturing about the point to be confident that Krishna will grant his protection. So we have also taken or treated point number three. Today I would like to jump ahead of point four and five and come to point six, which is to consider oneself lowly, that means very humble, and bereft of all good fortune. Now, in this material world, it is not wise to be humble. Even children learn it, that they should be a little assertive. And we all know that in this region of the world, people think it is a weakness to be humble. In this region of the world, people liked, especially the mushkas, the men liked to show their strength by going to bodybuilding studios and, you know, just show that they will be able to just, even someone who is just a little, who looks a little bad, they will give him a look, and then flask the muscles, and then do something to, you know, that the other will know, oh, better I don't pick any quarrel with this person. And amongst children, you can see this with our children, which we have in this temple. They always want to show that they are superior. They are more intelligent than others. They are also strong-minded. Because if you don't do this in the material world, if you do not show that your physical or mental strength is superior to the strengths of others, the others will exploit you and kick you around like a football. This is how the materialistic society is put together, unfortunately. And in this way, from childhood on, the people are trained to become, to make a show of both physical and mental strength. I want to tell you a little story now, which will show you how unfortunate such a false pride is when it comes to Krishna consciousness. Once there was a king in India who had a minister whose name was Rama. Rama Bhatra. The name of this powerful king, who was a very, very talented sword fighter, was Raj Bahadur Singh. Now this king, due to previous sanskaras means experiences which he had made in a life before, was very attracted to Krishna consciousness, and therefore he built a little house like a summer residence in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Once a month or so, he would come with his ministers to this summer residence and invite Vaishnavas to hear from them Krishna Katha. So his minister, Rama Bhatra, who was very intelligent, did not really want this, because he thought that the king Bahadur Singh would become very weak by the association of devotees. He would lose his aggressiveness, and as a result, stop to be a good fighter and politician. This night I was dreaming that Andrei Milosevic came to the temple and listened to one of my lectures, and afterwards he wanted to speak with me, and I invited him down to my room. He was very uncomfortable because this lifestyle is new for him, and this was in the dream. And I strongly preached to him, what is the use to be puffed up in this situation? And he said, don't talk so like this now. There's a minister with me, but come and visit me at my home, and then you can preach to me. This was a dream. But dreams are often very unrealistic, and I think that this might be one of them. Anyway, this minister was very much opposed to the king going to Vrindavan, because he also feared for his own position. He thought, well, maybe the king will lose all the interest in politics and become a Babaji in Vrindavan, and then I won't have any job to do in the government. So there was a tensed atmosphere between the two. So one time, Bahadur Singh again went to Vrindavan, and Ramabhadra followed along. And this time, Bahadur Singh immediately went to the upper rooms of this small summer palace, where there were Vaishnavas, and immediately started with Krishna Katha. So the king Ramabhadra, so the minister Ramabhadra, was staying downstairs in the palace, from where he was directing the placement of the luggage. You know, they came with their coffer and with their suitcases and boxes and so on and so forth. So Ramabhadra was standing there and said, this goes in this room, this suitcase of the king goes in that room, in his sleeping room, that box goes where he eats, and so on and so forth. He was organizing this, like Nita Chandra or Gauranga sometimes organize, you know, when the Jagannath car is emptied out, everything is on the road, they say, well, this comes there, and the instrument go there, and here's the prasadam for the devotees, they go in the wardrobe, like that. That was his duty. So there was a very valuable shawl of the king. It was very valuable cashmere wool, and it had real gold interwoven. It was extremely valuable. It was like a real king's dress. And Ramabhadra had put it on a suitcase, but all of a sudden, a maimon came. And the maimon jumped down where all the luggage was, and took the shawl, like a tzigoinen, and just ran on the next tree with it. And not only that, when he was on the tree, he did what maimons do. He began to shoo on the shawl. You know, and in this way, slowly destroy the king's shawl before the eyes of Ramabhadra, who was in charge of the whole operation. So Ramabhadra began to throw things at the maimon, but the maimon just went like, and even ate more. So Ramabhadra tried to hold bananas there, he tried to throw spears at the maimon, but the maimon could not be caught. So at this time, the king, who was just in the upper rooms, came out of the rooms to see what is all this noise going on. And he looked. He was only a little bit away from the maimon, maybe like from here to there, to this pillar, stupa. So he was sitting like, he was standing like this on the balcony, and he looked at the maimon, who just was eating this valuable shawl, his best shawl, the king's shawl. Now the king did something which was very unexpected. He began to cry a little bit. Now but it was not like maybe if a Mataji sees her best silk sari is destroyed by a maimon, she will cry, you know, ooh, my sari, who will marry me now? I have lost my best sari, you know, and she will be very disturbed maybe in her mind because of the loss of the sari. But the king's tears were different. It was not such tears which you cry when you lose something which is dear to you. It was totally different. And Ramabhadra saw this, you know. He was standing down, so he looked up and he saw the king looking at the Maimon, and just tears were running down his face. And he thought, what is this? He expected, you know, the king to just get a weapon and just throw it at the monkey and kill it. But the king was not doing anything and he was crying. Ramabhadra was very, very disturbed about this. My king can fight with 50 men at one time and he is crying about this. When I don't understand the word any longer. So he decided to ask the king why he cried. He had to wait 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then the king had some free time. He was sitting in his room and just measly, he thought about something. So the king, the minister went in the room. "Da," said the king, and he came, and Ramabhadra said, I'm very, very sorry, your majesty, but I have to ask you a question. My mind is very, very disturbed. Please give me the answer." "Yes," said the king, "you can ask now. What was going on in you when you saw the monkey eating your shawl, destroying your shawl? I can't understand why you cried. What were your feelings? You must have had some realization or some inner feeling, your majesty. And if you think I'm worthy of your trust, please tell me." So the king looked at Ramabhadra and he was thinking whether he should give the answer or not. Then he said, "Ramabhadra, because you have asked me, I will tell you, but I don't think you will understand it. Krishna has sent this monkey to destroy my king's shawl. Krishna wanted to teach me a lesson that if I come to Vrindavan, I should not come as a king. I should come as his humble servant. But because my abhiman means the conception which you have about yourself, because my abhiman is so false, I come with a huge following to Vrindavan with cooks and ministers and shawls, and I'm not actually coming to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not allowing me to enter its divine atmosphere. I'm only coming to the surface of Vrindavan. I'm cheated." This is what the king said. "And I was crying because Krishna nevertheless is so merciful that he kindly destroyed my abhiman, my false conception." So Ramabhadra, he heard all this and he just said, "Voila," and went down. And for a long, long time he thought about what he had heard. He thought about humility, which is a quality which he didn't possess and which he he saw his king possessing. And later it is reported this king was a great Vaishnava. I think you can understand that. He once said, if you sit on the mountain of your false pride, the wonderful river of Krishna's mercy cannot touch you because you are so sitting on the mountain and looking down. So Ramabhadra later, also by the influence of this king, understood about humility, and it is described that he often came to Vrindavan to hear the Bhagavad Katha, that is, devotees who were reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam and explaining it. He came like Andrei Milosevic, you know, to the lectures, maybe in a different way. I'm almost seeing Milosevic coming up the stairs with his very interesting face, which looks like, you know, some indication what he might have been in his previous life or what he will be in his future life. Anyway, this humility is a very, very important quality, and it is resting on a certain spiritual understanding which is not so easy to develop. Humility is not a weakness, but it is a great strength. It means you are able to understand your true position, which is 1/10,000 the part of the tip of a hair. That means the soul is very, very small. It is residing within the body, and only due to a false understanding, an illusion or maya, the eternal soul, which is so small, begins to identify with this huge piece of meat called the body, and begins to become active in the bodily conception of life, where you want that this body gets praised for its mental and also physical strength. So to understand your true position is something which is very necessary if you want to start with the process of devotional service. If you do not understand your true position but remain sitting on the mountain of false pride, it will be very difficult to make to get a proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. It is said that this principle of humility, this is the sixth principle, means that the devotee understands, I'm here in this world, I'm separated from Moi Dragi Gospodin, and I need his mercy in order to come out of my fallen position. This means humility. To understand, I'm the eternal soul, have now fallen away from the Lord into this material world, and to come out of my difficulties in life, my fallen position, I just need his milost. Very important. Now a devotee who is humble becomes a little sad in his mind. Why sad? Well, he understands Krishna has given all his energies in the holy name, nam namakarhi bahuda nija shakti sarva shaktis. Yes. the Sattva Shaktis. It means three Shaktis, especially three Shaktis are in the holy name. Jnana Shakti, that is knowledge. Kriya Shakti, that is to be able to do something. And Icha Shakti, that is the willpower. In the holy name, these three Shaktis are there. Someone who is chanting cannot remain in ignorance, because the Jnana Shakti, the knowledge potency of the Lord, will enlighten him. Someone who is properly chanting, he will be able to do things properly. I just read a letter with one devotee, a letter of Prabhupada. A devotee was saying, Prabhupada, there are sometimes devotees who say they will only chant, not do any service. And Srila Prabhupada said something very interesting. He said, these devotees who only chant and do not do any service, it means they do not chant properly. Because someone who chants properly will be very enthusiastic to do something for Krishna. Why? Because chanting really means, Moi dragi go gospodin, please engage me in your service. So the result of chanting is service. When we see a devotee who doesn't like to do service, who just stands always around, and never does something with his time, it means he is not chanting. I can tell someone, if someone chants 16 rounds, and the way he chants it, just by looking, if he does service or not. You can train your... I've made experiments, tiny experiments, and from own experience one knows, if one chants properly, one just cannot tolerate to waste time, but one wants to do service enthusiastically. It's a result of chanting. This is what Prabhupada said. So the devotee will be blessed. Why is this so? Why does he do slujpa? The reason is that there is this kriya shakti there. Kriya shakti means this activity, you know, wants to be released. Like when Sudarshan was still younger than this, and we were in Sumatovachka, he could not sit still, isn't it? You were always running through the house, and sometimes on the roof, sometimes jumping from the roof to the tree, and so on and so forth. We were saying the little Maimon is active, you know. There's so much Kriya Shakti, activity Shakti, but because of a lack of spiritual intelligence, it cannot be directed properly. So when you chant properly, you get this Kriya Shakti, and you want to engage it in devotional service. It just comes in a natural way. Do something. Devotees at the end of the day feel, oh, this day, why didn't Brahma make longer days? What's wrong with Brahma? These short days. One cannot do any service in this time. So much time goes for eating and then sleeping and then going to the WC. You know, it's just too much time is wasted for these physical activities. So Jnana, Kriya Shakti and Icha Shakti. We have many desires in our lives. The Icha Shakti will fulfill them. That's the wish-fulfilling energy of the Lord. For instance, we in the Nityananda Grupa, we want that 10,000, we want to have programs with 10,000 people minimum. and everything live in the TV, for our program live in the TV. Sorry. If the Lord wants, it can happen. And He will, you know, when we chant properly our rounds, He might give this Shakti, the Icha Shakti. So Mahaprabhu says, my dear Lord, you have given this mercy in your form of the holy name, but I'm so full with namaparat. Namaparat means offenses. What means offenses? Ovrede. Something like that. Ovrede. I'm so full of ovredes that I don't have any attraction to affection or attraction to this. So this is how a devotee in his humility will say. He will say, my dear Lord, you are so merciful, there's no one who is as merciful as you. And I am so fallen, there's no one who is so fallen as I am. This is my situation. So please somehow connect the two. The most merciful with the most fallen. This will be a very glorious connection. He is praying like this to the Lord. This is humility. He will say, a devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, oh, my mind is so full of grech. Grecha. Such a bad mind, full with bad thoughts. It's full of lust. Sometimes my mind is laughing, hee 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 hee. Sometimes it's crying, Sometimes it's full of strach. Oh Krishna, with such a glupast mind, how will I ever develop some attachment for the talks of you? The devotee further prays in this humble state of mind, I'm dragged by my tongue towards tasty things. Tasty things. My genital is dragging me towards perversion. Sexual nijivat. My belly, my stomacho, always wants to be full with food. My skin wants nice comforts. My ear wants sweet talks. Oh, you are so good, you are so good. This is what the ear wants to hear. My nose wants good smell. And the eyes want nice scenes, nice things to look at. I'm like a man who has many wives, which big demands, and in this way my mind is dragged away by the commands of my senses. Commands means orders. O Krishna, this is my situation. How will I ever become Krishna conscious? The devotee is feeling like this. He's very humble. But as I was saying, humble is not some weak psychopathic thing, but it is means to see the realnost, isn't it? Don't you think this is a realnost of the mind and the body, which we have discussed now? Mind is full of things, and the body wants to also have these things. Ajamil prays, Kva Chaham Kitava Papa Brahmagno Nirapatrapaha. I am a sinful cheater, a sinner, and I'm shameless. See, like sometimes we come to Krishna consciousness and we even cheat ourselves and others. Yasam Bhakta. Ajami says, I'm a shameless cheater. When someone asks us, how many rounds did you chant? 16 rounds in the morning. And we are so shameless, we are not even afraid that we do some lash. Ajamil says, what is my position in comparison to the holy name of the Lord? Anyways, I think if you would hear what these great devotees pray, you all become, we all would become sad, and we just sit here in the temple, cry. And we just go on to some hopeful sections. But then the devotee, feeling humble, he thinks very positively. Anandini, you are sleeping a little bit. Please hear this. This is important for us. He says, O Lord, I remember your promise. You have declared that someone who says, I am yours, I am your servant, he is a recipient, that means he gets your grace. Am I the only one who is exempted from this promise? In other words, this is your promise, that someone who says, I'm yours, I'm your man, I'm your Sankirtan man, or your devotee, you know, I belong to you, you are my master. It said, Krishna says, okay, come, you're belonging to my team. So the devotee says, am I the only one who doesn't get this mercy? You're giving your promise to anyone? This is what Pataparudra said. He says, Lord Chaitanya throws his merciful glance even upon low-born persons who are unfit to be seen. Yet he does not give me his audience. Has Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his advent? Has he come and decided to give everyone his milas and not me? The king, Pataparudra, saying. So, but then the devotee thinks, no, it can't be this. He prays, I was drowning in the endless ocean of material existence, and now, after such a long time, I have reached the shore of this ocean, which is Krishna consciousness, which is you. Now please give me your mercy, my dear Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, we all have a great hope in our life, and that hope is that although we have, we have gotten a very low birth, we are born in the Balkanitska telo, or in the German telo, European telo, some telo which is infected by ignorance and passion, still we have been brought in contact with this Krishna consciousness movement, and more important, we have come into contact at a time when Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming. has come. This is what Prabhupada said. So in this way, even we are qualified. What do you think, Petra? This is very good, isn't it? Now is some hope, you know. I always become very happy if I hear this. I just heard that before going to Kragiyovats, I heard a tape of Prabhupada where he said this. In Kali Yuga, our age, where Mahaprabhu has appeared, the qualification is that we have to be the most fallen. Now this doesn't mean that you should now go out, you know, and just do something very wild, you know, and then you come back to Madana Raja. I'm back, I'm very qualified devotee. I will get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very soon. No. That would be a great offense. That would mean you sin with the intention that everything will be forgiven by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That, then you cannot get the mercy if you do this offense. So, in this way, a devotee must wait for this mercy. Here I want to just of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's a realistic thing. Then one devotee says, 3 hours have passed. 6 hours have passed. 9 hours have passed. A whole day has passed. Oh, what shall I do? I could not look at the lotus face of Krishna up till now. You know, he's just like, you know, when a man in the material world waits for the woman, sometimes happens, they have made an appointment to wait in this Sremska Hailovsky place. He goes like, well, 1 minute late, 15 minutes late, 1 hour late. You know, and then he goes and drinks plebo until he falls under the table. No, not plebo, but pivo. Pivo, yes. No. So the devotee, you know, he doesn't do that. But he understands my life is useless without getting this mercy of Krishna. So this is some points on humility where a devotee feels separated from Krishna and just hopes to get the milasti of Krishna. And Krishna, who sees the devotee in this mood, he will give his milasti. But if you do not want this, then you will never get it. It's just like this. When a man, now it's summertime. I think you will all like this example. And sometimes one is very thirsty. Isn't it? Do you have this experience? Very thirsty. But even the most... And then one drinks. But in summertime you can give a man very nice water, very sweet, and with good smell. But if he is not thirsty, he will not drink. So this is the same thing with Krishna consciousness. We must be thirsty. Then only we can get the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. We must be thirsty to get the milast. And this is only possible to be in this mood if you are humble. A proud, arrogant Buddha-latz will not be able to, you know, get the mercy of Krishna, because he's like a man without thirst. The water can be before this man, but he will be not interested. The mercy can be before a pride person, but he won't be able to take it. It's very dramatic. Because he's like a man without thirst. The water can be before this man, but he will be not interested. The mercy can be before a pride person, but he won't be able to take it. It's very dramatic. Dramatitska. Yesterday one devotee came to me and we discussed about one subject. This devotee had seen that sometimes, you know, he had gone to the Adventist church to give some parcel for devotees in Sarajevo, and he noticed how calm and peaceful everyone seemed to be. When you go in the temple, then sometimes it's not that it's always calm in the temple. There are many activities going on. Sometimes devotees are a little, you know, just the opposite of calm, a little passionate maybe. He was thinking, why is it that here, where we have the highest things, we meet such devotees, and there in the Adventistska Kirche we meet all these calm people? And I gave the answer that but I want to give a better answer. The answer is that here are very qualified people for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it is important. This is what Prabhupada said to his disciples. You have so much mercy, but now you have to become humble. Because we may be qualified like this, that we had done some activities which are not very, we don't even want to talk about them in the morning, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to eat breakfast. You know, we would feel so bad in the stomach. But if we don't become humble, then this qualification, that we are very fallen, turns against us. If a fallen man is humble, then it's very good. He can easily get the mercy of Krishna. But if a fallen man is pride, a puffed up, he has no chance, because he will be very, very, very far away from getting the mercy. So, Hare Krishna, I wish you would listen like this in the evening. Yesterday evening, it was so difficult to give a lecture to you because you were all suffering so much from the heat. Please, this evening, maybe you take a cold shower before the lecture, or you know, do something, stand on your head. Before. Good, I want to end here. Thank you very much for your attention. Do you have any questions?
regarding some of these topics. We had today a special Nigosti. Thank you for coming. No, everything is clear. Well, thank you, Paul.
Juče smo slušali o entuzijazmu i ja sam htio da napravim eksperiment. Juče sam pokušao da sa pozitivnim stavom radim stvari. Čak i ako nešto ne mogu, pokušao sam sa pozitivnim stavom da ne uradim. Da li možeš da nam kažeš malo više o tome? Imam osjećaj da imamo krive koncepcije o pozitivnosti. Jer juče sam radio službu mnogo bolje nego inače.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can only slow translate, but I didn't catch.
You didn't catch the point. Anyone caught the point? I'm sorry that I...
Having yesterday lecture about enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So he talked about that, and yesterday during the day he wanted to do some service with a positive attitude. You know?
Yeah.
Although something... was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked if you can something more about that, because sometimes we have a wrong perception about
enthusiasm. We have to be careful when we want to act enthusiastically that we do not act passionately. Passionate action means I must have this result. And if it doesn't come, we go like, ooh, go to sleep again. An enthusiastic devotee will just try to give his best and know that the result is up to Krishna. That is not your business, Madan Gopal. That's Krishna's business. Take care of it. Now, if you understand that, you will be naturally in a humble position of mind. And then it's very easy for you. Now another point is about some of these qualities. You might say we have not yet developed enthusiasm, or today we are not, you might say after today's lecture, well, I'm sorry, it's nice to hear about humility, but I'm not humble. Should I just play a role like on the Bühne and on the stage? I mean, isn't it very bad to just play a humble person and then... I think we all know, you know, when sometimes the devotee comes, oh Prabhu, I'm so fallen, engage me in your service, you go like... eat some prasadam and then get a good mentality again, you know, become natural. Because, you know, he's not humble, he's just, it doesn't come from the heart. We have a devotee who comes like this in Germany, he's known like this, and when he comes like this, you go like, I'm sorry, I have to just because it's not so nice, you know, someone who is playing a role, it is just somehow making a bad impression. But at the same time, although this is certainly true, you become humble by acting humble. That's why in our movement we call each other Prabhu. Have you ever noticed this? Prabhu means you are my master. I mean, we may not feel like this, but this is how Prabhupada gave us this way of addressing each other, because he knew that if we just will try to act according to Vaishnav quality, we will get the mercy. And this mercy
will result in the purification of the heart, so that we are naturally humble and all this. But we can't say, Prabhupada was just once joking, he said, Guru Das Prabhu, come here, polish my shoes. This is not proper, you know. You don't say this to your master. Prabhu means master. But you know, by acting according to Vaishnav qualities, we will be able to slowly come there. So if you are not enthusiastic, just act as if you are enthusiastic. We know this when we do kirtan. Have you ever noticed this? Your kirtan, and your mind is everywhere, but not in the kirtan. And you know, then they start to dance, and you begin to feel like really uncomfortable. Oh no, now I also have to dance. You know. You know, and you just feel like, you can sometimes see this on our concerts, you know, when we say, now everyone gets up. Yeah. And Ohrid, I saw this. The atmosphere in Ohrid. Ohrid means sense gratification. You know, we just said, everyone gets up. And we were so enthusiastic, so no one could remain sitting. You know, when you are strong with your mind, then everyone just... Okay, if I have to do it, you know. And then he said, Levo, bravo, levo, bravo, levo, bravo, Dishno, you know, and so on. And then they went, levo, bravo, levo, bravo. And then immediately after the kirtan, they all went like, the whole audience sat down again. I said, no, no! We have to go on. Don't sit down. Are you Umarang or what? So you can see sometimes when the heart is so dirty with sense gratification, it is very difficult to dance. But isn't it when we try, you know, you get into it and you go, chum, chum, chum. You look at Jelinka, I always look at Jelinka, then I'm becoming enthusiastic to dance. Then, you know, you also do, raise your hands up. Like when you have these kamis and they don't want to dance, you know, and you say, levo, bravo, and you just push them, you know, and then rise your hands in the air, and they really go like, what? Yes, yes, and you're very enthusiastic, as if it would be the most natural thing in the world to raise the hand in the air. And they go like, they do this, and then they immediately begin to smash them. Isn't it? And then they look at each other, hey, this is good, you know, and then they begin to it's really like this. We have to, although we should not play these false roles, it's almost a contradiction, still we have to act according to the devotional processes, because there is a power in the devotional processes which is not just some placebo effect, you know, that you imagine something to be, but it really works. But you have to be careful not to fall in the mode of passion. This is the trick. Yes?
Često kaže da je jako važno družiti se sa bhaktama. Pa da li tako druženje, stvari, družiti se sa bhaktama koji ne pričaju o Krišni?
Said it is very important to associate with devotees.
Yes.
But some devotees don't speak about Krishna, but some others don't. So is it also good to associate with devotees?
Well, there are different. If the devotees talk about service to Krishna, it's
very nice. You know, to talk about Krishna, there are two forms of talking about Krishna. Directly, which is something which is done when one is more free from anattas. You know, one talks about Krishna, comes spontaneously, Krishna this, Krishna that. Or indirectly, it means, for instance, to talk about service. It means to talk about things, you know, how to overcome the obstacles to service, like Maya. Devotees sometimes will talk about Maya, but in a way that you develop the enthusiasm to get free from Maya. But then in every temple there is a Prajalpatim. You know, like two or three devotees who are really good in it. Prajalpa masters, the masters of Prajalpa. And there are many categories of Prajalpa. There is offensive Prajalpa. These devotees we must avoid. And they begin to talk bad about devotees. Oh, this devotee did this, that devotee did this. Oh, glupas, you know. But then there are the Prajalpas who are more innocent devotees. You know, they talk just, I don't know what they talk in Beograd, the team. I have not heard carefully. I think Sudarshan knows what they talk, so you can ask him. He's not part of the team, but he knows. He's not part. Then they are. Ishvinite. So, but you know, but it's said, if Prabhupada says in the movement we should try to find out the more advanced devotees and hear from them. But it's wrong to think that if devotees talk about service or about things of the material world which have to be overcome, that this is not Krishna Katha. It is indirectly Krishna Katha. Is it possible that we can fall down from the spiritual world a second time? No. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Kaje, that matgatva nanivatate. Matgatva means someone who has gone to me, na nivartate, he will not return. He will not go back to the material world. That's good, isn't it? So just try this one lifetime, give everything to Krishna. Then you go there, it may be struggost in the beginning, but it's worth it. Because when you go there, that's it. You've made it. No more problems. No more Beograd. All right, so we will end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaurinitya ki. And then all of them become his instruments. That's what I'm talking about. It's a secret. This surrendering to Krishna will give us spiritual energy. And Admabhi, when you have this, there is no limit to what you will give it energy. Look at Prabhupada. Prabhupada's physical body was so was lying down on the deathbed, and he was totally undisturbed translating the Bhagavatam. This is Dukhanda energy, not mental energy, not physical energy. And in order to get this, we have to be really connected with our spiritual master, because he is the, through him this electrical current of Krishna energy comes, Krishna Shakti comes. Good. Dobro. So thank you very much for coming. Please come tomorrow also, if possible, or hear the tape. It's the last seminar, and then we will go on to the three modes of material nature. It will also be very interesting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nithi Gaura Nitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi ki jai, Namo Vishnu. Srila Satchananda Maharaj ki jai, Hare Krishna.